Welcome to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. Hi, I'm Daniel Lim, your host. Today, we will be discussing how prayer will help end Bible poverty around the world. Hi, today we have the privilege of having Solomon Lujan joining us from Dallas, Texas, out of the headquarters of the Seed Company, who is committed to accelerating Bible translation among Bible-less people around the world. And Solomon has been leading the charge in mobilizing prayers across the nation to target at these Bible-less people so that in our generation, there will not be one single people group left without the Word of Scripture. Welcome to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. Today we have a special guest with us, Solomon Lujan, based out of Dallas, Texas. And he functioned as the full-time director of mobilization for prayer for the Seed Company, an organization dedicated to seeing the Bible translated to the remaining Bible-less people. Solomon, welcome.
Right. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. It's truly an honor to be here. So thankful for this time together.
And Solomon, would you share with us how you got involved in praying to end Bible poverty, praying for all the Bible-less people to receive the word of the scripture? How did you get captured by God? Share with us your journey.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a fun story, and you know, Daniel, as you know, it really started back at 16 years ago now, where my first encounter with the Misty Edwards album, and so first time I ever even heard about prayer movements, House of Prayer, and through that, got connected with actually the IHOP and what God did there, and since then, the Lord's been growing my heart radically for prayer. I got to serve at the Sister House of Prayer of IHOP, Sukkot Halal in Jerusalem, Israel, and encountered the Lord on multiple occasions that radically changed my life. And I was pre-law, set to be an attorney, and the Lord said, "Now you'll be an attorney in the heavenly realm, in the courts of heaven." And
I have to intercept you here. There are too many good stuff happening. You're going way too fast. I'm going to slow it down a little bit. You were a young adult, or were you in college yet when you first encountered
me? In college.
That was okay, my first time. Freshman in college, pre-law, getting ready to be trained as an attorney as your career, and right. You got ambushed by the Lord through Misty Edwards' song,
yeah.
And your trajectory changed. You became an attorney, an advocate to the heavenly court, an intercessor, and then you took up an assignment in Jerusalem? For how long?
Yeah, so we had 2 years, two separate occasions, and the first time was on my own. The second time was with my bride. We eventually married there in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, and so we wanted to serve there even longer, but we felt we heard clearly from the Lord to return to the States and to help different universities and churches start grow prayer culture. And two occasions, that meant a couple of houses of prayer. But beyond that, it was just different areas of prayer ministry.
So how long were you in Jerusalem? I didn't quite catch that.
2 years.
2 years. And you were intercessors. Were you worship leading?
Yes. Yeah. We served in the night watch. So we had, fire in the night to actually start off as an internship over there. That was my first encounter with the prayer movement. 6 hours a night, 12 midnight to 6 a.m. And that's where I learned how to pray. That really, truly, so much healing and so much revelation of who Jesus really is. So that personal walk with the Lord really blossomed there. And I have never been the same since.
You chose the hardest assignment on the wall. the yeah. night watch. That tells me what kind of person you are. You are an all-out person.
Yeah, that's it's in my blood. It's in the family.
So, for sure. So how did you come to discover there is a great need to join prayer for Bible translation to see every Bibleless language and people group receive scripture in their own language?
Yeah. No, it's there was a moment where I was serving for a ministry called Pastor Resources, and we would connect with different ministries that wanted to reach the church. And I heard about Seed Company through them. Actually connected with Seed Company to see if they wanted to partner with us. And receptionist on the phone said, "Hey, we actually have some opportunities available for careers. One of them is this manager of prayer position." Director of prayer. I said, "Interesting." I looked at the job description and I was like, "Wow, I feel like this is made for me in many ways, Lord. Like, what is this about?" And so I just saw without a doubt that if a ministry like this is going to prioritize prayer to this level, which is unique yet changing in different parachurch ministry organizations, so I'm thankful for that. But it was unique at that time, especially. And it stood out to me. And I said, you know what, if they value prayer this much, a biblical view of prayer, putting, as we say, they prioritized putting prayer first. I said, "Lord, what do you have for us here?" So they went through several interviews and moved my family from South Carolina to Texas. And now we're here in Arlington serving just around the office. We near the office here we live and it's been wonderful to see God move. So it's just that moment where I hear that prayer is going to be the key to fulfilling the Great Commission. I said, I'm all in.
Wow. No, for someone who, as a young adult, gave himself to the night watch, 6 hours every night when everybody else is sleeping, you are looking for fertile soil to do that again. When you find a ministry that prioritizes prayer, you find a piece of soil that's quite fertile. Yeah. And so you're ready to move your tent from South Carolina and pitch it right in Dallas, Texas. That's remarkable. Yeah. And Solomon, I have to point out one other aspect of your life, which is pretty unique, beside the fact that you chose Jerusalem as one of your early overseas assignments as an intercessory missionary. If I remember correctly, you have Jewish connection in your life.
Yeah, I'm Sephardic. So the Sephardim are Spanish Jews. So we descend from Toledo, Spain. And so I'm been involved in Hebraic roots movement as well in Messianic Jewish congregations, and currently working on my Master of Divinity with a concentration in Messianic Jewish studies at the King's University, a Gateway Church here.
Wow, that is the one university where they specialize in that. They even have doctoral program for Jewish studies, right?
That's right.
Yes, and so Solomon, with somebody with your background and your Jewishness, and you are stewarding getting the gospel to languages that do not have a single word in the Bible, to all the Goyim, to all the nation. That is such a beautiful word picture. Yeah. I just can't get over it. It's like all over again, Acts chapter 1, from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, come on.
But personalizing it in your life, you know?
Yeah.
So describe to us what you are envisioning. Is it even possible to see zero? Is it even possible? I know many in the Bible translation world is talking about 2025, 2030, all the remaining about 2,000 languages will receive Bible translation in their own mother tongue, either in written form or in oral form. So describe to us what you're seeing in front of you as a key mobilizer in this prayer movement.
So, you know, Daniel, I'm privileged to be able to represent Seed Company at a lot of different events and gatherings of ministry leaders, missions leaders, and it never ceases to amaze me to catch those moments where we take a moment, no matter our our background of even eschatology or whatever, there's that one moment of recognizing, wow, this generation is amazingly unique in the respect that there are so many things aligned towards fulfilling the Great Commission. And many believe, and it's our prayer at Seed Company, and it's our faith goal, that we would engage every Bible-less language community on planet Earth with the kingdom. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about putting Bibles on a shelf. Bible translation today is all about reaching the unreached and growing and developing evangelism, discipleship, and church planting, church multiplication through, and here's the critical, this is a point of learning here, mother tongue scripture, because that is the heart language. That is the language that people respond to over and over and over again, and they need the Holy Writ, the Word of God, in their mother tongue to truly grow in a healthy, in a strong, robust way. So it's they, as we say, we bring Yeshua or Jesus into the neighborhood, bringing Jesus into their neighborhood. He puts on their culture, their clothes, and he's part of them. And that when they experience that, we've seen the evidence point towards lasting impact. When we have not seen that, when we've seen missiology and missions and efforts going out without mother tongue scriptures, we actually, there's not one actual people group that has a third generation growth. In other words, you look down three generations of actual discipled, and there's no mother tongue scripture. They'll revert back to an unengaged people group. So there's no lasting impact without mother tongue and scriptures. So we need that, because this is the heart of God. He comes to us. There's other religions that would talk about, we have to go to him. We have to know Arabic, to et cetera, et cetera. But what he is doing in this movement, he's saying, I'm coming to you in your language.
So Solomon, our audience are wondering, you know, some of them are aware of what is happening in across the nations of the world about Bible-less people and languages. Some of them are not as informed. So why don't you give us a little state of the union, like from the very foundation? Yeah. How many known languages are there that we are dealing with right now? And how many of them has scripture? You can give us a round off number. And how many more left are we actually praying right now? So give us a state of the union of the scope of the task the body of Christ is facing leading to 2025, 2030.
Yeah, and I'm going to give round numbers just to help folks remember, because this is my desire is that our friends here listening would remember. And so it's kind of cool, because it's an easy number to remember the first one. The first one is God's favorite number, seven. Right? We see that all throughout the Bible, 7,000 languages around the world, 7,000. So in a moment there, the first time I heard that, I was pretty shocked. So I hope you guys are shocked too. Some of y'all who did not hear about that, because that's a big 7,000. With that, we have in process, in work, in some way that we survey and research, about 5,000 really are being served in some way. Or there's a process going Bible translation. They have versions of scripture, but we know for sure right now that there are 2,000, and we're just rounded off there, 2,000 that are without one verse of the Bible in their language. And so it is surprising how powerfully a language community can grow with just, you even give them a list. For example, we just start off with the book of Luke. Give them the book of Luke, and you'll see some powerful things happening. You'll see hundreds, if not even thousands sometimes, come to salvation just using the book of Luke. Now, does that mean that they'll have healthy discipleship and church planting? No. We eventually want to get them the whole Word of God, but the point is 2,000 right now that are waiting, we want to go ahead and begin Bible translation so that they have eventually the whole Scripture.
So, scope of the task, I chopped you off a little bit just to give some context. 2,000 years of church history and the commitment from the Latin Vulgate translation from Greek Hebrew into Latin. And then, of course, we have the Hebrew scripture into Greek, the Septuagint around 200 BC, and then eventually all the different languages setting in. we have covered 5,000 languages in some portion. And we have 2,000 languages left, and it's now 2019, and we're sprinting in the next decade, 10 years, as a global body to believe that some words of Scripture will be in those languages, at least beginning from the Gospel of Luke. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. And there's, and on that, Daniel, it's, you look at the trajectory, and I encourage y'all to do some research around it, and, you know, it's amazing, but you look at, if you would just take a line kind of graph, you just go straight, as you mentioned, you know, from the Septuagint, and that, in essence, kind of being the first translation beyond, of course, the giving at Shavuot, Pentecost, eventually it was Pentecost, but Shavuot originally with Moses. Moses received the Ten Commandments, the first written scripture, right, on tablets, right, on stones. But you talk about that first translation, but you look at it, and it's a pretty flat line. You don't have a whole, and then you get some spikes. But what's going on right now in the modern Bible translation movement, you could just picture a crescendo, a huge spike of none like never before. I mean, we're talking about so many gathered in investment through prayer and giving. And I never separate those two. I believe the two are combined, prayer and giving. And that will giving that could look like different for different folks. Some give their time, some give their lives to being translation consultants or translators, et cetera. Some give financially because they are business people and they're the marketplace. They understand how to. So, but giving, prayer and giving. And we're seeing an incredible, unprecedented historical spike in the global church arising to answer the call of the Great Commission.
And give us some scope, like a quantitative scope of how many people that you know of are saying yes to praying to see Bible-less people receive their Bible, roughly. I'm sure there are more than what you know, but give us a sense.
So let me give one quick context in that, because for everybody to know that there is a unity. In fact, Christianity Today has an article. And they had an article highlighting the unprecedented unity in the Bible translation movement. And so it goes under a couple of names, Every Tribe, Every Nation, or Illuminations, but it's the gathering of these nine most influential Bible translation organizations that cover up to around 85 to 90% of the work around the world. With that, you have a large focus of prayer in most of those organizations. So if you gather together just within that realm and with our key partners like the International House of Prayer, like the International Prayer Connect and others, I would say, to answer your question, Daniel, I would say we're in the 250,000 range in terms of if you gather all those folks, all the networks involved. Now, if we bring that down to a granular in terms of actually engaged, it's not as high as it should be.
In terms of 250,000 people are awakened and aware to pray about this subject matter.
I would say that's a ball. Yes, I would say it is a ballpark.
Well, but we don't know the consistency and the strength of engagement. Right. We can't gauge that, but at least they are it's on their radar to pray about this.
Right. Through our united effort, I've taken a tally at one point, looking around, and we're one it approached the 500,000 in terms of really reaching that many. Really, our goal, my prayer goal is that would there be 1 million intercessors?
I was about to say that. Let's believe for 1 million intercessors.
Come on.
For these 2,000 Bible-less people.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I believe. I'm convinced that we need that many because of the amount of opposition. You know, I like to say this, and this is what the Lord gave me a few weeks onto the position. He said, the Lord is telling me in a time with him, he said, Solomon, the remaining languages are the hardest to reach for a reason. They're the last ones for a reason. They're the ones that are the most hard to reach. They're the most oppressed. They're the most spiritually attacked. They're the most governmentally opposed. So they're not low hanging fruit, so to speak. These are the last ones for a reason. And we need a massive amount of new prayer warriors that are committed to this.
Remarkable. Solomon, I just feel your heart. I want you to lead us in prayer together afterwards, because some of the people who are hearing us today might be saying yes, yes, and they want to be advocate. They want to help mobilize. They want to sign up themselves. I want you to lead us. But before we do that, let's give a few more points of in terms of the scope. We talk about the number of people awakened to pray. What about the amount that has been mobilized in giving towards Bible translation? I believe that hearing from you, there has been an acceleration too. Like you say, there's been a crescendo in terms of the amount of number of languages receiving the scripture in the last 100 years compared to 2-3 millennia before, you know, and there has also been an increase in the number of people awakened to give towards Bible translation. Is that true?
Yes.
And what? How much has been raised, like in terms of, or committed, collectively, roughly?
In terms of funds, and not specifically people that are giving, but
yes.
Overall.
Yeah, collect. the amount of.
Yeah, so Bible translation is not inexpensive. It is something that requires, especially as we approach harder areas where we need like deaf Bible translation, which is rather interesting. For example, we have to look at a lot of videography for that, and it's very expensive to do that. But there's no price on salvation, right?
Yes.
So we're looking at whatever the Lord can provide. So with that, we're through various gatherings, and you know the trajectory. There's different organizations that are raising up into the amount of 12 million or so. We actually, and this is a glory to God moment. I don't ever disconnect giving and prayer. And so as you all join us in praying for Zero and praying for the Bibleists, we'll give you some practical points to pray. But as you pray, realize that often translates to financial blessing, because we need the financial backing. And in other words, we all can't be translators. We all can't be mother tongue translators or translation consultants, but we all can give. And as more and more of the global body of Christ gives, we will then support the necessary boots on the ground, so to speak, to go ahead and do their work. And so with that, I mean, we have, recently, there's a lot of prayer around a seed company event called Forward. It's kind of punny, right? F-O-R, word. And there was just 12 million given. That's the highest ever given in one gathering over a weekend of just over 80 families that came together. And, we believe relationship here, so their personal relationship. And that is a huge value of the Bible translation movement. And these families are actually commit to a specific people group. And when they're committing, they're saying, this is an extension of our family, this people group. And so they give up just extravagantly, because they don't see this as a kind of a vague kind of, I'll just toss money out to a ministry and see what happens, but more of, hey, this is, I get to meet with these people regularly. I get to meet with these mother tongue translators. We're connected. And so that's
they're owning it. They're adopting it. They're adopting the thing, the language, and they're owning it, and they feel the sense of inheritance. Right. They ask the Lord for their inheritance in the nation. You know, so this is wonderful. I assume that the entire scope of 2025, 2030, we will need more than 12 million. Are we talking about $500 million that's needed to finish the job, the 2,000 languages?
It is in that range. And then there's other amounts. See, what's a little bit challenging around answering that is that as we innovate, so in other words, we can invest in innovation. Literally, we have, in essence, think tanks, right. Folks that come together and ideate. When we come up with solutions, often that price tag will come down.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's more cost effective.
But then we need to actually invest into that think tank situation. So it's kind of a...
Invest on the front end, and then you can scale the technology.
Right. So there are estimates of close to, you know, close to $500 million to $1 billion in terms of being able to finish the task. Again, I think that's nothing compared to what's at.
Well, 2,000 languages, it is worth the price tag.
Absolutely. And absolutely. And the Lord can do that very quickly. And again, it starts with prayer though. And that is fueled through prayer, through the prayers of the saints. That sum will come immediately.
So I'm going to challenge you to pray that amount with me afterwards together. because we need to call forth the resource of heaven in our generation to see that there is no language left, zero, that is deprived of access to the Word of God.
Amen.
So the last one is the number of people. We need mother tongue translators, whether they're cross-cultural, you know, trained translators from one country to another, or local mother tongue translators. How many people are we talking about that we need to mobilize with 2,000 languages?
So in terms of actual translators and consultants and so forth, so again, it goes a little bit back to, will they, at this point in time, I can give you a direct answer in a moment here, but there are on the horizon some innovative methods, because, you know, it used to take 25 years to get a New Testament. Now we're looking around 7 years.
Right.
Example of the importance of standing before God and saying, Lord, they're waiting. They're waiting, Lord. What can we do differently that will reach them faster? The Bibleists are waiting. They're waiting on your word. They're in darkness. And so as we cry out to him in that place, he provides innovation that truly is from on high. And so currently right now, if you're looking at 2,000 languages, you typically need we usually now translate in clusters. So you're talking around the range of 4 to 6 languages per cluster. So let's just say around 5, right? I'm no math whiz, but if you look at 5 languages per cluster, you need at least one consultant. Sometimes there's more, but at least one consultant per language there. And so you can even help me out. I say, what is that?
400.
400 consultants, new consultants that we need to go ahead and move forward and have it. Because right now there's work that's been finished by mother tongue translators waiting to have a translation consultant review, because we want, of course, accuracy, clarity, a natural feel, but we want it to stay true to the original text. Consultants can do that. And the mother tongue translators, they know their language best. They can bring across a clear reading and rendition of it, but we need the consultants. And so there are right now dozens and dozens and dozens of actual projects waiting for consultants. So that's a huge prayer right there, is those 400 new consultants that would rise up in this hour to match the need.
All right. So let's pray. Lead us in prayer in these 3 points. We're going to ask the Lord together, believing for the finance, for the million intercessors, and the number of consultants that is needed. You know, let's just pray together. Lead us.
Amen. Yeah, Father, Holy One of Israel, even now, Lord, I just think of the many stories, of the many lives that have been impacted intimately, Lord, by your word coming to them, Lord. As we even heard from a tribe that was recently impacted by your word, yeah, Lord, they say, we used to headhunt. We used to go out and we used to actually remove the heads from our victims and to appease the spirits. And now we, with the Bible coming into our language, and now there's over 95%, just after a few years, 95% of that people group coming to salvation, they now call themselves heart hunters.
Yes.
From headhunters to heart hunters. God, this is an example of the transformation that happens. Lord, so we pray even now, Lord, for more transformation, God. We see those in darkness waiting on your word, God. We ask for more heart hunters to arise. Lord, we pray, Lord, even now that, Lord, for the presence, God, that you would go forth. We invite your presence, Lord, to prepare hearts of those that are waiting on your word, of the Bibleists. Those that are there without one verse of the scriptures in their language, God. Prepare their hearts even now, Lord. Mm-hmm. Warm their hearts. Release, God, dreams and visions from on high.
Yes.
God, we've seen stories too, even recently in Niger, God, of people groups, God, getting visions and dreams, and then Bible translation beginning, and then them reading while they translate the Bible, of the Word of God, saying, "Oh, I saw this man in my dream." Lord, we're seeing this happen. So many. Area countries around the world, Lord, prepare their hearts even now so they're ready, so that yes can be quick to your kingdom, Lord. Father, yes. We ask for provision, Abba. We ask for that you would release that second P, Lord, as we pray for Lord, provision, Lord,
investors in prayer and financial, God. Prayer, financial investors, Lord. Yes. We have global body of Christ to arise in this hour like never before, Lord, and that she would break off, Lord, the sins that so easily entangle her from giving towards, Lord, those that are waiting, God, that you'd remove any form of distraction or selfishness, or God, that generosity would be her name, Lord. Father, we pray for that, God. We pray for more generosity to arise in your global body of Christ. We pray especially for America, Lord. There's so many resources here in the North American church, God. We pray for a breaking in of your power of grace, Lord, to align their hearts towards your great commission, towards your eternal purposes, Father. Yes. Lord, we as well pray for technology and this provision, Lord. We ask for needed technological innovations to come into play. Lord, we need that, Father God. We ask for that supernatural touch. And finally, Lord, we pray for that final P, protection.
Yes.
Pray for spiritual protection over all of those that are involved with bringing your word to those without. God, those that are reaching the unreached, Lord, us included. We playing our part, God. Protect us from the evil one, Lord. Protect mother tongue translators, Lord. Protect different leaders and CEOs and just everyone involved, God, with your angels, Father. Protect them, Lord, from the evil one. And may they be guided, Lord, towards fullness in serving your kingdom purposes, Lord. We pray for Zero. We ask this in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Father, we thank you. We agree in Jesus' name. Amen.